concerning who Jesus Christ is. So the second aspect, or the second way in which the God of this age attacks the truth, is by attacking the identity of Jesus Christ to suppress, to hide, to cover the glory of Christ. Now, what does our world say about Jesus? Well, many in our world say there was no person who was Jesus. He simply didn't exist. Fictional character. Others will say that Jesus may have been a miracle worker, a great physician. He may have been a good example. He wasn't understood, and it's a pity that people killed him. But he simply set a good example and nothing more. So what the devil does in our world is, by blinding the eyes of men to the gospel and the identity of Jesus Christ, he supplants the good news with bad news, which is what we really want to hear, what men want, what they crave, is that salvation is something we can do. Maybe it's not even something we need. Who needs to be saved? I'm fine just the way I am. But if we get this wrong, where is our hope? Martin Luther rightly said that the doctrine of justification is the article upon which the church stands or falls. In other words, if you get justification wrong, if you get the gospel wrong, if you get who Jesus Christ is wrong, you don't have the gospel. You don't have good news anymore. How can you be made right with God? What is our only hope in life and in death? If we get that wrong, we have no hope for this life or the life to come. But this very confusion of what the gospel is and who Jesus Christ is what was shrouding the church of the Dark Ages. The darkness which was enveloping individual men came to roost in the Roman church. And it all started because the Roman church was teaching in Latin, a language that most of the people did not understand during that time. So the first way in which the truth was hidden is that when people went to the church, they didn't hear the gospel proclaimed in their own language, and they couldn't read the scriptures. They never learned properly about their own sin and how they could be saved. Instead, they were taught to trust the church, or to trust holy men from of old, to rely on the doctrine or the teachings of the church. They were refused the gospel, and even the sacrament of the Lord's Supper was withheld from them. Sin was made something small, something that if you would simply donate a few dollars to the church, you could purchase an indulgence. If you gave some trust, some lip service to an angel or a saint who has gone before, if you simply said a few Hail Marys, you could simply do a few actions and have your debt taken care of. That was simply an adulteration of the word, and it came down to what man did and not what Christ did. Corruption and greed filled the ranks, and the church descended into a pitiable state. The sad thing is that the Roman church got wrong the one thing that the church must never get wrong. What is the gospel? Who is Jesus Christ? Is Jesus an example? Is he simply one mediator among many? Or is he the only perfect and all-sufficient Savior? When the gospel is veiled, covered up in the church, and indeed those who fought for the truth were persecuted and expelled, the church's message was garbled, and it really became a dark age. But that's nothing new, is it? Because if you know your church history and your biblical history, you know that throughout the entire Old Testament, there is these times of great revival and reformation, godly kings who the Lord raised up and faithful judges who delivered God's people, who pointed to the fact that salvation is a gift of grace, that God's people are to depend on God alone. And then the people slide into false worship, idolatry, and dark ages came on the Old Testament church as well. But when God's people cried out, I mean, that's the cycle of the judges, isn't it? When God's people cried out for mercy, God, in his grace, sends them another Savior. He delivers them and reminds them that there is hope. So to summarize this first point, the darkness that was found in the Roman church of the Middle Age is the same darkness that we all have by nature within. Unless Jesus Christ shines upon us with his light and truth and grace, we will by nature suppress the truth, deny the truth, rebel against the truth because we like to think salvation is something we can do. But God in his grace will never allow the church, the light of his bride, to be extinguished. We confess, Belgic Confession, Article 27, it may appear at times that the church is small, even during the days of Elisha and Elijah, the judges and the kings, Christ will have his church. Even before we have the Reformation, those great pillars which we identify together, there were pre-reformers, men like John Huss and John Wycliffe who faithfully proclaimed the gospel before Martin Luther was even born. The Reformation was not the beginning of the church. It was a return to the truth, a restoration of what is so necessary. This is because the darkness cannot hide the light. The truth will not be silenced, the light never extinguished. What is more powerful? The prince of this world or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So God in his grace during the time of the Reformation and individually in all of our hearts causes his light to shine. And when the light shines upon us, we begin to understand who it is that we are and who Christ is as our one sufficient Savior. What is necessary for us to understand the truth is that we go back to the Word. This is another a Reformation motto. Ad fontes, back to the source. Let's go back to the Word. What does the Scripture say? So what happens is we have these reformers who are going back to the original languages, translating it into the language of the common tongue, gospel preaching in the language of the common folks. And what happens? What happens to the church? There's this huge rushing in because God's light is shining clearly. When the open statements of the truth, and indeed isn't that what Paul told Timothy? Proclaim the truth in season and out of season. Make it clear who Christ is and what he has done. When the Bible is read and proclaimed in your hearing and we can understand it, things change. The church grows. No cunning of the devil or tampering of men can stop Christ from having his bride. Soon the sun will break through the clouds once again. This is applied to us today. Because when the gospel is purely proclaimed, verse 2 says, the open statements of the truth, we can expect the light to produce life. The light here means understanding. Remember I said in looking at verse 4, there is a twofold darkness. What is the gospel? who is Jesus Christ. So when the light of the good news goes forth, we need to understand first and foremost, what is the gospel? If your children ask you tonight, Daddy, what is the gospel? Do you know what the good news is? What is the good news that we have as Christians? The good news is this, that we are saved, Ephesians 2, saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift. Saved by grace through faith. Salvation is a gift. It's undeserved favor, delivered from our bondage, brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. We learn the good news as we read God's word and we understand who we are, and we also understand who Christ is. Who is he? Who is Jesus Christ? Is he simply a good example? Is he some prophet of old who was able to do miraculous things? Or is he the Son of our Father, our Lord and Savior, the one mediator between God and men? We sang that a few minutes ago. The Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings. So when the good news, when God's word is read and proclaimed in a language that we all understand, we start to understand, to see, to perceive the good news, which is salvation is a gift of God by grace, and we understand the identity of Christ is that he is the one Savior, the sufficient sacrifice, the Lamb of God who had his blood shed for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. When we see these truths, instead of walking in the darkness, we walk in the marvelous light. Psalm 36, verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. That's why we need God's word to be proclaimed in clear, simple words of truth. Not the persuasive language of human logic and reason, but simply telling you who Christ is, who you are, what he has done. Look again at verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The very same God who spoke into the darkness at the beginning is the same God who speaks into the darkness of our heart today. In Jesus' face, do we see the glory of God? When the gospel is proclaimed, Romans says, faith is produced in our hearts by the Holy Spirit so that we come to understand, to perceive what is true. Ephesians 5, at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. To conclude, the Reformation and the celebration of it should never be about how great man is. Should never be how great even the reformers were, but rather how great our God is. In restoring the clear, simple preaching of the word and the reading of God's scriptures in our own language, the church experienced a dramatic renewal and restoration. After the darkness of deceit and human cunning, years of the church hiding what was true, distorting the gospel, and minimizing Jesus Christ, when the gospel is clearly proclaimed, the good news goes forth and salvation in Christ alone is proclaimed. You see, congregation of Christ, the need for reformation is not something of the past. The need for reformation is just as pressing upon us today, because in our sin, we are dark. We need the light of God's word to shine upon us once again today, so that we might know what is true, the gospel, and we might understand who Christ is. We are born into darkness, ignorant and rebellious, hating the light because our works are evil. When we hear the good news, the Holy Spirit takes that light, shines it upon us so that we might perceive who we are and what Christ has done. The Reformation still matters because the truth matters. Those Reformed Reformation pillars. Where do we find out about our salvation? Sola Scriptura, in the Scriptures alone. How are we saved? By God's grace alone, through the works of Jesus Christ alone. When I'm united to Him by faith alone. So learn for what our Reformed forefathers needed to learn. That salvation is revealed in Scripture. And since that is true, how dear to us will God's word be? This is our final application. If the clear reading and preaching of the word is necessary for us to understand the good news and to understand who Jesus Christ is, how precious to us will God's word be? You know, we've had the Bible in our own language for many years. How privileged we are. When you look at your bookshelf, how many different Bibles don't we all have sitting in our homes? God's word is so easily accessible to us. Imagine the joy of the Reformational church who had grown up hearing sermons in Latin, never able to take the word in their own hands. And all of a sudden they have Bibles in their own homes and they're able to read it and understand the preaching, and all of a sudden the gospel becomes clear and the sufficiency and uniqueness of Christ is proclaimed in their hearing. What joy must have filled their hearts. That's the same joy that we need to have, the same commitment and devotion to the simple, to the glorious gospel. The same God who caused light to be seen on that first day is the same God who caused the light to be seen 500 years ago, is the same God who needs to shine in our hearts today. In our theme, we said that Jesus Christ sets us free from the darkness of our sin with the light of His Word. So may we as Christians be people of the Word. May we be committed to its faithful preaching and reading it as well. Because in here we find that light for our path, a lamp to our feet. In here we read about Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, in whose light we find life. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the clarity of your word, that we can understand who we are, what you have done for us in our salvation, and the identity of Jesus Christ. May we never tire of hearing that simple yet glorious truth, the good news of the gospel, that we are saved by faith. We are saved by your grace. We are saved by Christ alone, as revealed in your word. We thank you for these precious gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.